All right, Merry Christmas, everyone. I can't believe Christmas has already come so quickly. But I hope that this is a blessed week for you guys as we reflect on the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. You know, I want to start today's message with just a simple question. And my question to you guys this morning is, as a church community, what role do we play in each other's lives? What role do we play in each other's lives? I want you to just take a moment and look around. Just scope the sanctuary this morning at our 11 o'clock Hongdae Alpha service. Some of you guys are afraid to even look around. Just, it's okay. Just take a look at each other. Don't be scared. And I want to ask you, what role do the people around you play in your life? And what role should you play in theirs? You know, generally in Western society, I think we've become accustomed to the idea that church is simply a service we attend. And if we're lucky, we might be able to make a couple of friends along the way. It's viewed as a place where we go and we receive. And it's not a bad thing, but we go and we receive God's word. We can receive God's counsel. We can receive maybe some sort of fellowship through the community group, maybe a Bible study here and there. But I want to present to you guys that church is actually more than just a service. And it's more than a place where we're called to just receive. It's not just a gathering of believers once a week. See, New Philly Hongdae, this message is not being video broadcast to all the campuses. So this word is specifically for our community here at the 11 o'clock service. If you look around you, the people that you see, God has called to play a significant role in your life. And not only that, but he has called you to play a significant role in theirs. Sunday service is not just about gathering together. It's a part of it. It's not just subject to that one aspect. You know, there's a word called aggregation. Everybody say aggregation. Aggregation. And the definition of that is just a collection or a gathering. And Tim Keller has this quote where he says, aggregation is like a bag of marbles. Okay, a collection of marbles, a gathering of marbles. And a congregation is a cluster of grapes organically connected. How many of you guys know that we are not an aggregation, we're a congregation? We're not just a gathering of saints, like-minded, just sitting next to each other, but we're a congregation. We're meant to be more like a cluster of grapes, organically connected. That means when one of us is struggling, we should all understand that we are all struggling. When one of us needs to be comforted, that we're connected, we need to be comforted together. There's a connection in the suffering of one another. There's a connection in the celebration and in the blessing of one another. If one person is blessed in this community, we're all blessed. Do you believe that? When you know that we're connected together, we can celebrate each other's accomplishments. We can celebrate each other's testimonies. See, we need to think beyond just the gathering of Sunday service. We need to think beyond that. It's not just about encountering God through the worship, the exhortation, the corporate prayer, the scripture reading, or even the message. The community of saints, it plays a huge role in how the church is called to function. Because we're not just called to encounter God next to each other, but through each other. You are called to manifest Christ to the people around you. Did you know that? That's part of your role as being part of this church. You are called to manifest Christ to people around you. So church is not just a service anymore, and it's not just a place to simply receive. It's also a place to give. It's a place to sow into. It's a place to shine. C.S. Lewis, he writes in his book, Mere Christianity, Christ works on us above all else through each other. We are carriers of him. I'm going to say that again. Christ works on us above all else through each other. We are carriers of him. Did you know that God wants to move powerfully in your life, not just through the message I'm about to preach, but through the person you're sitting next to? God wants to bring his love, his healing, his transformation, his grace through each other. This is church. And guess what? Whether you like it or not, you play a significant role. John 13:35 says this, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is how we magnify the goodness of the Father, is by loving one another. I want you guys to open up to today's scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be reading from verses 19 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. I have the ESV version, so if you have that version, I want you to just read with me. Let's just read it straight through. If you don't, you can just follow along. Okay, here we go. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter," we're going to read it all together. Let's try that again, okay? We're going to read it all together, guys. Here we go. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I'm going to zone in on verses 24 to 25. "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let us consider. Everybody say, let us consider. Let us consider. You know, in Greek, it's very hard to translate that phrase, because if you do the grammatically, it sounds funny. But really, what scripture is trying to say is, let us consider not how to do it, but let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. God's word for us today is consider one another. Consider one another. That word consider in Greek is katanaeo. Katanaeo. Everybody say katanaeo. And it means to perceive, to observe, to understand, to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes and one's mind upon. I want to ask you a question. How many of you walked in today's service and considered those around you, where your mind was attentively focused on the person next to you? Were you thinking and looking at their face and asking yourself, man, how are they really doing today? Were you observing their mannerisms, not just what they were saying, but how they were moving, how they were communicating, what their week must have been like, what their day was like? How many of us actually walk in and the first thing that we do is, let me consider those around me? Truth is, it's not a natural thing. Naturally, we're more inclined to consider ourselves. How am I feeling? What was my week like? Where am I discouraged? Where are the places and areas that I need to receive? We are so good at considering ourselves. We're experts at that. But God wants us to develop the gift of considering one another. He wants us to be able to walk into a room and look around and see beyond what people are saying. To look into your neighbor's eyes and be like, you know what? I just sense that they've had a tough week. I'm just observing that, just watching them. And positioning yourself to minister to each other in that way. Are you considering one another? I think the best example of this is not just when service begins, but when it ends. Right? Service finishes, and I don't know about you, but naturally we just beeline for the people that you know and that you're comfortable with. And the first topic, especially in our service, is what are you thinking about? Come on, be real here. What's for lunch, right? I am hungry. What are we going to go eat? I got to satisfy my stomach. We are considering ourselves the moment service ends. But how powerful would it be if we considered one another first? You know, I'm not here to judge you guys, because one of the things that my husband loves to make fun of me about is what I was like as a newcomer. You see, before I became pastor of this church, I was a newcomer at this church. Okay, about 8 years ago, I walked into what was then JSCM, and I was completely overwhelmed by the worship, by people being so happy. I'm from New York. You know what I mean? Not that New Yorkers aren't happy, but we don't express our happiness in such an overt, you know, way. We're happy on the inside, all right? No, the truth is most of us are miserable, but I walked into church, and everyone's all like, hi, and I'm like, ooh. All right, you need to calm down, you know, like, I'm uncomfortable right now. I'm going to just go to the corner. I always sat in the back. I didn't want to sit where, it was going to, basically, I sat closest to the exit, okay, so the distance became shorter. And my husband, the words that he uses to describe me as a newcomer was stuck up. I know, it's such harsh words, right? Stuck up. But if I were to confess and be honest with myself, I was. I was stuck up in the sense that I was very concerned about me and no one else. And how that played out was I made two friends, I know, two whole friends, when I came to church that were also newcomers at the time. And we stuck to each other like glue. So as soon as, I mean, first of all, we enter service together. We always sat next to each other. And when service ended, we always left together. And, you know, people in the church would always try to invite us to the church fellowship. Like, come eat lunch with all of us. And we'd be like, sorry, we got to go. And we would leave and eat lunch just amongst ourselves. And, like, when we saw church people, like, go to the lunch, we'd, like, go across the street. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't want to run in. We'd, like, purposely kind of take the other path so we wouldn't run into church people so they wouldn't have to take us to whatever fellowship event there was. We stuck with our comfort zone. We were considering ourselves. And yes, I came off very stuck up. Very stuck up. But how many of you guys know that that wasn't God's purpose for me in the church? It wasn't just to consider myself, but his desire was for me to find community and to connect. And to receive grace, not just from my two friends, but from the whole congregation. I'm not here to judge you. It's uncomfortable when you're here for the first time. It's uncomfortable when you're here for the first month. Some of you have been here for a while and you're still uncomfortable. And I get that. I understand that. But I want to exhort you today by saying God doesn't want you to stay in that place. He has so much more for you in this community. And it's not just to receive the blessings from other people, but you actually play a role in giving this community another level of blessing. Another level, another set of graces that we can't give. You're significant. And we forget that. We forget our influence and our significance in the church. And I want to remind you of that today. God has ordained us to manifest him to each other. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I want to consider you. Come on, let's all be real here. We have the capability of being very observant. We have the capability of being very considerate if we wanted to be. And case in point, let's think about the last crush you had, shall we? The last person that you liked, it's like, it's almost magical how aware you are of where they are in the room, right? Like, they could be over there talking to someone and you're talking and you know. Like, they are in that vicinity right there, looking real good. Listen, the antenna, the force is strong with us. It is strong. Our ability to be aware, if we tune into that, whew, we are made to observe one. We are made to consider one another. And just like you are so highly skilled in considering the person that you have a crush on or that you're liking, or even someone that you dislike, you're so aware, they're going over there, so I'm going to go over here. They're coming over here, so I'm going to go over there. Come on. Let's be real here. Man. Even sometimes when, it's about to get real here. We're going off script right now. Sometimes when I get upset at my husband, I'm like so aware of his presence and I don't want to talk with him. Or I don't, you know, the hardest thing to do when you're married and you're upset is just touch, like holding hands. And Pastors Mina and Caleb are here. They're in the baby room with Ethan. They're our campus pastors in Busan, and they do the cutest thing. When they fight, I don't think this works anymore, but what they used to do is they used to hold hands, look into each other's eyes and say, "We are best friends. We are best friends. We are best friends." Listen, when you are arguing with your husband and wife, that's the last thing you want to do is hold their hand. Like there's like a natural repellent, like, you know, like you just want to resist that. They try to break through that hold hands. We are best friends. Listen, when I am so aware of my husband when I'm upset with him, and I'm just like, I'm going to just walk over here. And even like during staff meetings, if we like get into a tiff, like, and he kind of leans in this way, I just lean this way too. You know, and he's all like reaching over to get an open, and I'm like, you know, like, we become so attentive. Our attention, our ability to be attentive is so strong and so large. And I feel like God wants us to hone that ability towards one another. Listen, you have the ability to do so. Even in a large group like this, you have the ability to be attentive to those around you. It's true. You have it. And I believe God wants us to take it to another level and consider one another when we think about church. We're going to look at Hebrews, the passage that we just read. And I feel like God kind of gives us this map of how we can consider one another. Scripture says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds." Stir up one another to love and good deeds. That phrase, stir up, in other translations, it's stir up, provoke, motivate, spur, promote, all very active descriptions, right? How can we as a community actively cause one another to love and to do good works? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves more often. What can I do today to stir up love? What can I do today to stir up others to do good deeds? And I want to ask you guys, when do you feel most stirred up to love and do good deeds? When do you feel the most stirred up, most excited, most provoked to love and to do good deeds? You know, for me, one of the strongest ways where I feel provoked is by watching someone else do it. When I see someone love sacrificially, I'm like, man, I want to be like that person. You know what I mean? Like, I just get provoked. When I see someone do things that I know is just totally exemplifying the life of Christ, my heart just gets stirred up. Just like, wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm going to give a little shout out to Daisy. But if you guys know Daisy, she's one of our leaders here at New Philly Hongdae Alpha. And she's our pastoral assistant to Christian and myself. And man, this girl, let me tell you, she stirs me up a lot. Okay, she provokes me with her countenance, her attitude. If you guys are part of her community group, if you know her as a friend, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. She loves and she loves well. And she's got such a servant's heart. It's like, and she's so gentle. You know, it's like, oh, P.E., P.E., do you need help with anything? You know, and I'm just like, oh, man, you love well. And she's very observant. Even before I ask her, she's like, oh, would you like a drink? You know, if I cough, she brings water, you know, like with a quickness. Or, you know, if she sees me struggling with Shiloh, she'll reach out her hands like, you want me to take her? Like, there's just an attention that she has. And it's not just to me, because that's part of her job. I see her do that to the church. And when I watch her, it's like my flesh is kind of like, that's obnoxious how well she loves, right? Like, But really, more than the obnoxiousness, I'm so inspired. And I feel, I embrace the feeling of love that I receive from her. And I want to be able to do that for others. Like, man, Daisy, you are ministering to my heart so well right now. I want to be able to do that for someone else. You know, Pastors Caleb and Mina, I mentioned them earlier about we are best friends. If you're married, I dare you to try that. And you can get back to me on how that works, how effective that is. But they have the gift of hospitality. Let me tell you, if you've ever stayed with them in Busan, and this is not an invitation for you all to stay with them, by the way. But if you had the privilege to stay with them in Busan, they are so gifted in making you feel welcomed. Man, and Caleb and Mina both, they're such good cooks. Like, they know how to feed you, and they just make everything as comfortable. Everything in their house is yours. Like, that's the feeling that you get. And they're just so good. Every time, Pastor Christian and myself, when we stay at their place, we leave thinking, man, we got to up our game in hospitality. You know what I mean? Like, they just take it to another level. It provokes us. It provokes us. When you see someone else living out a life filled with love and doing good works, that's one of the strongest ways we can stir one another up, is lead by example. Yeah, the truth is, that's what Christ did. That's the way that he lived by example what he wanted his disciples to do. He wasn't just teaching on it. He lived it. They saw him considering others. Even after a long day of ministry, he would see a crowd of people drawing in, and his compassion would be stirred up. And he would say, you know what? Just let them come to me. And he would love them. Minister to them. Heal the sick. Preach the gospel. Jesus, he led by example. You know, we're called not just to lead by example, but that word to stir up also means irritate. Everybody say irritate. And I think the best way to kind of describe it would be Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. I asked you a question at the beginning of my message, what role do we play in each other's lives? We're supposed to sharpen one another. And you know, the act of sharpening is not a pleasant act. It's irritating at times. It's uncomfortable at times. But the purpose behind it is for us to become more and more and more and more like Christ. We got to sharpen one another. That, you know, sometimes sharpening someone else, like being sharpened, is uncomfortable, but sharpening someone else can be uncomfortable. Meaning like, hey, that wasn't okay what you just did. That you may not know that, but it was unloving. And I need to tell you that, because I love you too much to just let you keep on doing that. Part of sharpening is inclusive of just healthy, loving confrontation. And as a church, it's good to love on one another, but we need to teach one another. We need to confront one another, not in a nasty, judgmental, condescending, condemning way, but in a loving, patient, God-fearing way to sharpen one another to love and to do good works. How powerful would it be if we all walk into church today and start every day with this thought, how am I going to sharpen someone today? Or how am I going to stir up someone else to love and to do good works? Your role in this community is significant. And whether you like it or not, whether negative or positive, your presence is influencing somebody. Whether it's shutting people out or getting booking out of service, you're influencing. Whether it's going out of your way and observing who looks down and trying to be attentive towards that, you're influencing. Without realizing it, we're all watching each other. And we're watching how we respond to one another. And we're moved by that. What way do you want to influence the community today? What way? You know, Pastor John and Anita, they just gave birth to their second child, a son, Josiah. Super cute, chubby little baby. And I went to visit them, and we were just chatting it up in the hospital, exchanging stories. And we were laughing about Olivia because she's 2 years old. She's going to be two later this month. And she's at the age where she's so observant of her parents, and she naturally wants to do what they do. And so recently, I guess John has a I'm calling Matt. I didn't ask him if I could give this example. So, John, I love you. After John burps, he kind of goes like this. He does this little chest pat. And Olivia, just watching her father, just pick that up. And she would burp and go. I mean, she just like would follow him. She's so observant, even though they don't even realize. They're not being as intentional with every move, but she's watching their every move and seeing what's mommy doing? What's daddy doing? When John reads scripture, the way that he reads his Bible is he takes a pen and he holds his Bible and he kind of like follows the line like this with his pen. And so if Olivia ever looks at a Bible, the first thing she'll do, she'll grab a pen and she'll do the same thing. Because she watches her father read scripture every morning the same exact way. Now, John may or may not be intentionally thinking about what he's doing, but majority of the time he's not thinking about it. And yet Olivia, the way, the age that she is, the way that she's wired right now, she's so absorbent. She's picking up every little thing. I want to ask you guys to be the person that you want to be in Sunday service, that you would like others to be to you. That was a mouthful. What am I saying? I'm saying that we should be the person we want others to be in this community. Pastor Daniels, he's Pastor my spiritual father, Pastor Benjamin's spiritual father, Pastor Daniels, once said it to me like this: if you want to reap something personally, sow it into someone else's field. If you want more intimacy, then sow intimacy in someone else's field. If you want financial blessing, then sow finances into someone else's field. When we sow into others, naturally, we will also reap. And so when we consider one another, it's an act of sowing into one another. How do you want to sow into one another in this community? Come on, turn to each other and say, I want to stir you up. I want to stir you up. Okay. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Scripture continues to say, not neglecting to meet together. Everybody say, meet together. You know, a lot of us, we kind of limit this passage by saying meeting together for like Sunday service. You know, don't neglect Sunday service. And that's definitely, I think, a good application of this verse. But it's not the one application. I believe that meeting together is so much more than meeting on Sundays. It's the meeting together throughout the week. It's the meeting together in our community groups. It's the meeting together to just catch a meal together. There is an exchange of grace when we just meet together and just break bread. There's an exchange of grace when we meet together and just converse, or even walking to the subway together, going home, just talking to each other. As we meet together, there is a grace that's being released in that moment. You know, whether we have fellowship events, community group, every time we meet, I want you to see it as an opportunity. Every time we meet, we now have an opportunity to stir one another up. Instead of going to your CGs and being like, all right, what am I going to learn today? Go to your CG and be like, how can I consider my community members today? Instead of going to the fellowship lunch and be like, man, I can't wait to eat this. I've been craving this all week. Go to the fellowship lunch and be like, how can I consider someone else right now? How can you consider one another? Be clothed with that attitude. And you know what's going to happen? The anointing of God is going to fall upon you. You know why? Because we are in our greatest anointing when we're not thinking about ourselves, but when we seek to serve others. Think about all the gifts of the Spirit. It's designed to serve another person, to heal, to prophesy, right? To encourage, to preach. All of these ways, it's not for ourselves to receive, it's to give. That's the anointing. When we step out of us, when we step out of our desires, when we step out of our needs and we step into the needs of others, woo, Holy Spirit fire. Now we're talking about the supernatural coming into our lives. Now we step into the anointing. You want to have anointed days, anointed weeks, anointed months, anointed years? Consider others. Consider others. So don't neglect meeting. And listen, as we get older, meeting becomes harder. When you're in high school, you're over each other's houses all the time, right? Then you go to college, forget it. Like you, there's no boundaries, you know, especially if you dormed in college, you're always over each other's dorms. No matter what time of day, you're coming over, eating each other's foods. You know, there's just a communal, I think, thing that happens when you dorm together. For those of you that commuted, you may not have experienced that as much, but still when you're in uni, as the Aussies would say, there's still that level of flexibility that's there where you can still, you know, hang out with each other. But as you get older, once you get that job, 9 to 5, now you all have that same little pocket, right? After work, that dinner time pocket where you can spend time with each other. Then you get married. Okay, now your wife or your husband wants that pocket, right? Okay, then you have children. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, you know how much work it takes for me to meet someone? It takes me like an hour to prepare, okay? I got to pack the bag. I got to make sure she's fed. I got to make sure she's changed. I change her. You know what she does? As soon as we leave, she poops. Yes, okay, fine, thank you. I go back, I gotta change her again. I gotta pack extra clothes. I gotta, you know, her nap time is in 30 minutes, so can we meet? Like, you have to pay so much attention to someone other than you already that meeting with other people becomes this big endeavor. But it doesn't matter. We still need to meet. Mothers, we still need to meet each other. Fathers, you still need to meet. Husbands, you still need to meet with other husbands. Wives, you still need to meet with other people, right? We can't neglect the power of meeting together. And the meeting is not just to gather around and just hang out. There's room for that. But I believe that the meetings are most rich when we encourage one another. And that's the way that this verse ends. Meet together, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but, everybody say but, encouraging one another. Encouraging, parakaleo, to come alongside. That's encouraging, come alongside. It's not like, hey, you down there, you better get your act together and come where I'm at. That is not encouragement, okay? Encouragement is to come alongside someone right where they're at. Right? To comfort them, to strengthen them, to console them. Encourage one another. How much of a blessing would it be if we were all intentional about this? Encouraging one another. You know, I believe God has set people today for you to encourage. He has set conversations, divine appointments, divine breakthroughs that we are carrying for one another. And he wants us to be that breakthrough for each other. Okay? It's not just about getting the breakthrough at the altar call. It's about becoming the breakthrough for each other. Carrying the word for each other. Carrying the encouragement. Okay? Consider one another. It's a simple word. Consider one another. And I want to end with this. It's, we got to go beyond our comfort zone when we consider one another. You know, we have a natural tendency to stick with what we know. There's been so many studies done on high school cliques, or as my husband would like to say, cliques. Where we naturally, if you go to a regular, typical Western high school or high school in America, there's natural groupings that happen. You know, the athletes, the nerds, the band people. I remember in my school, there was always the drama, you know, like the people that were in drama, they sat together. If you watch Mean Girls, okay, there's the Asians and then the cool Asians, right? But we naturally kind of have this tendency to group ourselves. And McFarland, he's a professor of education at Stanford grad. And he says, what motivates distinct cliques is this, the need to establish identity and the need for acceptance, approval, and belonging. And you know what's interesting? Studies have shown that when the high school is bigger, there's more, a greater manifestation of cliques. People become that much more needy to belong to a smaller group when the majority group is larger. When the school is smaller, they don't see it as much. And you know, maybe you've experienced that. You've been to a church that's much more smaller, and so it's easy to kind of get to know everyone. And then you've come to a church service that's slightly bigger, and you just feel like one of the crowd, right? One of the many. No one knows me or pays attention to me. And you have this desire to curry and click up with a certain group. And not only that, but we have a tendency to go for like-minded people, people that look like us, same ethnicity maybe, same life stages. Singles want to hang out with singles. Parents want to hang out with parents, right? Same age group, same cultural background. Even if you're Korean ethnically, if you, you know, meet someone that also grew up, let's say you grew up in the Philippines, you want to hang out with those people. There's a lot of barriers and distinctions that we have in this community. But if there's one thing that we got to be rememberful of, is that the gospel breaks all those barriers. See, scripture says that for as many of you were as baptized in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to his promise. Understand this. When you experience the gospel in your lives, no longer do you need to look to people for identity. And no longer do you need to look to people for affirmation or approval. You receive it through the Father in heaven. When you understand that now we don't need to stick with our life groups, we can go across barriers and connect with people that are living in a life stage that's completely different than ours. You know, Hongda Alpha, we have the most diverse congregation. We have youth ministry, Damascus. Okay, we have Emmaus, our college ministry. We have our regular ministry to the adults. And in the adults, we have singles. We have those that have been coupled up. We have those that are engaged, married. And then we have parents, and we are going to start children's ministry. We have a bunch of babies in that back room putting everything in their mouth and pulling each other's, you know, toys away from each other. We have the most diverse and eclectic group of people, okay, or grapes in our cluster of grapes here. And we can choose to stick with what we know and stick with the stage that we're in and stick with the friends that we've already made. Or we can choose to cross those barriers as Jesus has crossed them for us and begin to consider those that are living different than us. Single people, you need the wisdom of the married couples. And married couples, you need the reminder of the single people. Do you know that? You, those of you that are in Damascus, we need you here. We need you. It's not just you need our wisdom and our experience. No, we need your presence. When we see your vitality and your zealousness, it reminds us, man, this is how God calls us to be at every stage of our life. We need the youth. We need the children's ministry. God calls us to be childlike. How do you know what's to be like child? How do you know how it? How do you know what it's like to be childlike if we don't see children? Right? You're reminded, man, okay, that's childlike. Alpha, I want to remind you guys and encourage you guys, exhort you guys, cross boundaries today. Well, no, cross barriers today. Keep boundaries at all times. Cross barriers. Everyone say cross barriers, not boundaries. Jesus, help me. When we preach this word about considering one another, I'm not saying consider one another who's in your group. I'm not talking about just considering those who you're already friends with. I'm not talking about considering those who are members or leaders. I'm talking about considering everyone. Consider one another. Cross boundaries and learn from one another and give to one another. Okay, sow into one another. This is the church and this is your role to play. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The testimony that I have from this community is one that's not singular in just my experience with God through the worship or through the messages. It was also inclusive of my experience of God through his people. I'm here as a pastor today because people considered me. They reached out to me. They loved on me. They noticed that I was someone that was broken. I was someone in a place of addiction. I was someone that was discouraged and hardened with my way of Christian living. Someone considered me. And even though I came off stuck up, people broke through that barrier and continued to invite me to lunch and continued to invite me to the small groups and continued to give me opportunity to be known. Not to be judged, but to be accepted and loved. So many of us have testimonies because we've been considered. And I want to ask you guys today, let's make a fresh commitment to continuously consider one another as this church body continues to grow. I want you to just bow your heads with me. And I want to take a moment to just be reminded of what Christ has done for us. Because considering one another, like I said, is not natural. It needs to be fueled by the grace of God. It's not a willpower sort of activity. It's a grace-powered activity. And I want to read to you with your, as your eyes are closed, Philippians chapter 2. It says this, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, Apostle Paul writes, complete my joy by being of the same mind and having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Scripture says Jesus is the source. And watch, he led by example. What does Christ do? He was in the form of God And he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus considered himself nothing to die on the cross for our sins, in order to cause us to reconnect with our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And now, and only now, through the source of Christ, are we able to do the same for others. Now we can lay down our own lives for one another. Now we can consider one another more highly, more significant than ourselves, because Christ has done the same for us. I want us to take a moment, and if you feel led, just make a fresh commitment. God, what role are you calling me to play in this community? And how can I be obedient to that? Come on, let's just take some time and let's pray. Let's pray as a response and commit that we would consider one another. Let's lift our voices and just begin to cry out to God.